Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film information broadcast. I am your host, David Reed, and joining me is Merrick Larwood. Hello, Merrick.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to the show about film, where we're going to take you through some of the latest visual masterpieces to strike the silver screen.
We could keep this up for 25 minutes, but I think we'd get bored very quickly.
Someone listening for the very first time is now already depressed.
Really depressed for a bygone era that no longer exists, that seems somehow better than now, even though, you know, medicine's better now.
Everywhere does, though, doesn't it? It's nostalgia, the power of nostalgia.
I think it's something to do with the way we form memories, but we can't get into that now.
This sounds like a sort of podcast I would actually listen to.
This is Film Fandango. Hello. We're going to talk about some films that hopefully you won't have seen, and then maybe you can go see the good ones and avoid, like the plague, the bad ones. Now, as ever, we've gone to see some films. Marek, you're going to go first, I believe.
Yes, I am. Here we go. I went to the cinema, and I went to see Eye in the Sky.
Eye in the Sky. Now, I've seen the trailer for this. Mm-hmm. It appears to be Aaron Paul mm-hmm. with Helen Mirren and Alan Rickman, his last film, I believe.
Yes.
About drones. Is that pretty much it? Drone pilot.
Not especially.
Oh, is it not?
What I would really commend this film is a thriller, but it's done in a very different way.
Okay.
This could only happen now, technology, now you've got drones and you've got cameras and everything. It has allowed this film to take place. Basically, there's a somewhere in Nairobi somewhere, I think.
Right.
There's a terrorist cell. And all these terrorists in the place for the first time, and so the British government wants to target this place,
right?
Via a drone missile. So you've got people watching because of the cameras, and they're all. I'm not explaining very well. Different people from the military. So you've got the military, you've got politicians,
yeah.
You've got the actual drone pilots,
yeah.
All in different rooms,
yeah.
Watching this footage and trying to make a decision on what to do based on this footage.
Okay.
And then you have got a bit of action happening in Nairobi on the actual place itself. Basically, there's a whole... These extremists from ISIS equivalent terrorist site have got an area that they've sort of warded off and kept to themselves. And the British military is able to view this through a drone. And also some... almost quite outlandish cameras. There's one in a bug. There's one in a bird. You know Clash of the Titans? The old Clash of the Titans film? You know the weird mechanical owl?
But yeah.
Hoot hoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The camera that's in the bird reminded me a bit of the stop motion animation in this owl, to the point I thought, is this weird? I know you're pushing it.
Well, you know what? They've been using animals since... the Second World War and the Cold War as well. I was reading recently about an American who trained all sorts of animals to do reconnaissance and espionage, including training a crow to drop a little bit of slate on a windowsill a specific windowsill, and the slate had inside it a listening device. So looking out the window, you'd just go, oh, it's a bit of slate off the roof that's fallen there. It's nothing, but it's a listening device. So
wow.
Sticking a camera inside a crow is a bit different, but...
They're mechanical animals, mechanical bugs.
Right.
So it's just about believable.
Yeah.
But this technology has afforded a new film where that can be... You can get into places and see things.
Yeah.
It feels really fascinating, and it's quite a fresh idea.
Like Enemy of the State in that sense. I remember that being a thriller that used sort of cutting-edge technology.
Yeah, I loved Enemy of the State. Yeah, really great.
Really good film.
So this is odd in that you've got these different people, this sort of cross-communication of these politicians and military people trying to decide what to do in this situation. And the situation gradually gets worse and worse. I won't give you any spoilers. More and more tense.
Is it live footage? They're watching live footage.
Yeah, they're watching live footage. Okay. And you've got some guy on the ground who's experiencing it, trying to make it so they can eliminate these people.
Right. Annika Rice. She's challenged Annika Rice.
Sort of Annika Rice, but maybe someone with a more African sort of...
Okay. More than Annika Rice. Okay.
I mean, she is in the top five.
Sure.
She's in my top five favourite African people.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's... So it's, it feels really... I would watch it and you think, I would never... There's no reason for me to ever watch this again.
Right.
So what do you call it? Like, quite pulpy film,
right.
I suppose. A pulpy thriller.
It's not one that stays with you.
There's a question... They slightly raise a few moral questions.
Okay.
But they're not... There's no real answer or any real standpoint. Sometimes it feels quite static in the fact that it's just a lot of people in different rooms talking to each other. So it's odd that you're watching people watching something.
Yeah. Is it a low-budget film that they've got a high-profile cast?
No, I don't think it was low-budget. I think it's a really refreshing thriller.
Oh, great.
I think I really enjoyed it. I give it 7 Mareks. It's not amazing. It's not terrible. And it feels a bit different. It feels as though they're constrained a little bit by the formula they've used and the whole sort of technology. But nonetheless, I'm really glad that something a bit more inventive and quite now-y's come out. As opposed to a relentless superhero film. So if you want to go to see a thriller that just... maybe lacks that final push, that final greatness to it. And some of the dialogue feels a bit sort of... like that. That sort of quality.
But I'd watch your film with Helen Mirren and Aaron Paul and Alan Rickman just going...
Alan Rickman's just really watchable.
Yeah.
It's really watchable. When I was watching, I was thinking, did he know... He must have known, you know. I wonder whether he knew he had cancer, or he knew he was ill during it.
Well, it depends. I mean,
how long
ago they filmed it? I mean, these things can take years to get distribution.
But it's flawed in some ways, but enjoyable. So, Eye in the Sky, a better than average thriller.
Well, there you go, Eye in the Sky. I think now we've heard about one film.
Yeah,
I think it's time. For this.
Some people are writing letters, we like reading them out.
This letter is from Lee Garrod. That's a good name, isn't it, Garrod? Hi, Film Fandango. Spent most of the last 2 weeks listening to your back catalogue, unlucky, and I'm finally up to date. I noticed you didn't make the voices and wondered if you'd seen the director's previous film, Persepolis. Have you seen that, the animation?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's an animated film.
That's the guy who did the voices. That is a weird combo.
About her life growing up in Iran. Very funny, and I highly recommend it. I'm currently watching a Marvel film every day and blogging about them as I go. Oh, get lost. I thought I liked them, but watching them this close together exposes their weaknesses, and now I'm beginning to agree with Marek about the genre. Good. Sorry, Leo. Ignore that get lost stuff. Are there any film series you feel are worthy of watching... one every day without... I'm sorry, and would still stand up strong. Thanks. That's all for now. Sorry, I read this really badly. Sorry, Lee. That's all for now. Keep watching the films, but not Marvel films. Lee Garrod.
Okay, any films that stand up for watching sort of one a day? I mean, I've not done that. Well, the Police Academy films, obviously, as you can see the slow decline towards the Mission to Moscow. Ones where you need to remember the plot, I guess. But that doesn't tend to
happen.
How
many have done seven? Rocky?
Rocky, yeah. There are now seven Star Wars films.
Well, the answer's no. The answer's no.
I can't think of a single series where that is necessary.
Here's another letter.
Who from?
It's from Connor L.
Connor L. Okay. He says, Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I heard you read out a letter where an Aussie listener shamelessly asked you to talk about what Australian films you like, so I thought I'd follow suit by shamelessly asking you what Irish films you like. Here are a few recommendations from a recent purple patch in Irish film you mightn't have seen. What Richard Did, a thoughtful piece about privilege and aggression among privileged South Dublin teens. His and Hers, a genuinely touching documentary and probably on UK Netflix. Sing Street, a very, very slick descendant of The Commitments, and, still in cinemas, Patrick's Day, a really strong film that will stay with you. Finally, I heard you mention that you sometimes listen to Commode and Mayo, for research purposes. I tried to listen once, but was bamboozled by the glib code language their listeners employ in emails to the show. Here's a made-up example. Dear Wittermeisters, I had a genuine shoe-on-head moment last Witter Day upon seeing none other than Sir Frosty Looks himself outside the BBC studios. It was like walking into a cliquey society in university, and the big love-in vibe made me miss Marek losing his cool and generally firing abuse at emailers to your show. Don't ever change. P.S. The accent should be Irish. Ha ha, you put it at the end. So, tough one. Keep watching the films, Con. So, Irish films. I'm trying to think now. The only ones I've seen recently probably is Grabbers, actually.
Cavalry and The Guard, they're both really
great. Oh, of
course,
yes. No, I'm a big fan of those.
There's a great animation I watched last year called The Secret of Kells.
Right.
Which is all about the Book of Kells and some... it's a great animation, and I think they did Song of the Sea as well. Really unique look to it. And The Secret of Kells is about, I think, a girl loses the book and has to go off into the... Anyway, I can't remember. I knew it was good.
Yeah. There's something about seeing films from different countries that still have their own cultural identity that just makes it a little different, and it wakes you up more. Do you know what I mean? Just hearing people talking... not only with different accents, but actually talk about different things and in different ways and have different perspectives on stuff. I find it just engages you far more. It's why, whenever I've had enough of American stuff, then, an Australian film will make me go, oh, great. I love cinema.
I only like watching English films.
Oh, really? So yeah. You like films about posh people in the past?
Yes, I've got no interest in the other people.
Buddy, we got any more letters?
Oh, letters. Letters.
That was an excellent filling time.
If I say letters out loud...
letters!
I've got one here.
Yeah.
It's from Christopher Dodd.
What does he want?
Hi, guys. Could you read this out in one of those typical deep cinema trailer voices?
Go on, then.
I think on the back of this teaser, the Bone Man could be headed for real greatness. Oh, he's written a teaser for The Bombing Man.
Do it.
Which, for listeners who don't know, is a film I made up about a year and a half ago, which I talk about every 3 months. Anyway, Christopher Dodd. I mean, it is a bit of a liberty starting to write stuff for my own film.
Yeah, I mean...
Which just puts a whole copyright thing out there, doesn't it? And anyway, he's written this. My life. How does it go, the voice?
Deep, I've moment. Got a sore throat at the moment, so...
I've got quite a sore throat. My life. That doesn't sound like... My life. My life feeds. That's it. My life feeds. I remember they called the bumming man to fully understand who he was. Oh, sorry. I'll raise it again. I might read it in my own voice. No, I'll read it in a similar voice. Ah, shit. My life feeds.
I remember a man they call the Bumming Man. To fully understand who he was, you have to go back to a time when there was no fear of walking down the street without being bummed. Those days are gone now. Tight buttocks and swift steps now dominate the sidewalks. He can strike at any time and doesn't give a shit who he bums, as long as he bums and he bums well. Sore ass hell and squeezed cheeks everywhere, with all hope gone of being able to walk down the street. Only one man stood in his path. The Bleacher Man. Bleach or be bummed. A harsh reality. Only the fastest walkers could escape. And those guys on rollerblades were okay. But hey, when were they last in fashion? No one has ever known the Bumming Man was among you until now. Right, he's borrowed lines from Mad Max Turn Highlander there.
So the Bumming Man is now a villain in this.
That's my problem, Christopher Dodd. The Bumming Man is the ultimate hero who saves humanity.
I find the idea of a bumming man being a villain quite homophobic.
Well, he's basically a sex offender. You made him
into a sex offender.
Well, a rapist.
And
he's
never been that, has he? He's never
been bumming man.
He's
not
been
a rapist.
A symbol of hope for the future.
Yeah. Thanks, Christopher Dodd. But no thanks.
This final email for this week is from Henry King, who says, to be read in a thick Yorkshire accent, easy. How do? You previously read out my email when I questioned if you could spoil documentaries. Spoiler, turns out you can. I then suggested the doc All This Mayhem on Netflix, which I still hold up as a bit of a hidden gem. Have either of you seen it yet? Being a sports documentary, I would have thought it was right up Marek's bracket. Whilst not the most cinematic experience ever, it had some moments which have really stayed with me. Give it a go if you have time. Regarding the Bumming Man, love-making scenes, tonally, are you considering the ultra-realism of Gaspar Noé's Love, or the more impressionistic style seen in Parker and Stone's Team America? I mean, I'm down with either, just interested. Keep watching the films. Ta-ra, Henry.
The Bumming Man's really capturing the public's interest.
Well, it's going to be called Bumming Man Fandango soon, if this keeps up, because that's the only way to keep our listenership. Quickly, buddy, come here. So quickly on that point, love scenes in The Bumming Man? What are you going for?
I would like to go into, you know, in the Disney films, sometimes like Bedknobs and Broomsticks are going to a cartoon animation.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, when they go into a magical, through a magical portal.
Yes, I want the sex scenes to be Japanese paper art, you know, the old shadow.
That'd be beautiful.
Because you could go really graphic.
Oh, really graphic there with paper art. Yeah. Oh,
Japanese,
good to know.
And also, it would be help you know, some young animators as well get work in the industry.
That's very magnanimous.
So I talked about the budget being $5,000 before at some point. I think that with the paper art sex scenes, it could
go up a bit, because doing it all by hand is more expensive these days.
It depends how detailed you want the paper sex scenes to be. If it's me doing it with a pair of scissors on a bit of a
then they're going to be graphically detailed.
Yes.
I mean, you have a lot of free time.
I'm prepared to spend the next 5 to 6 years doing that, and I may well be in prison, which is the perfect backdrop for it.
Wonderful, wonderful. And with regards to his other point, Henry King's other point, All This Mayhem, I have watched, and that is what we're going to talk about now.
That's
now,
a great segue.
Thank you. Have you seen All This Mayhem?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's a sports documentary about the Pappas brothers, who are they were amongst the first and most skilled and celebrated skateboarders. So late 80s, early 90s, they were up there with Tony Hawk, basically around that time. They're Australians, they're brothers, there's footage, home video footage and footage throughout their entire lives going through charting their rise and fall. Now, I don't know if you know the story.
Did you say charting or sharting?
I said charting.
I think sharting.
Sharting.
Good.
Sharting their rice. Oh, Christ. What an image. I don't want to tell you what happens because that's the best thing about documentaries, is not knowing what genre this is.
Is it a good ending? Is it a fulfilling documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the life provides the beats, if you know what I mean.
That is a
great. That's a great TV thing to say, isn't it?
Life provides the beats.
It certainly does.
Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't into skateboarding, although I was at the right age at the right time for skateboarding, I think.
Like, didn't you have a skate? I did quite a lot of skateboarding.
I had friends who did, like, proper, you know, massive combat trousers around the bum hole and, you know, the spiked up hair, listening to NoFX and Less Than Jake and all of that. And I was in a band, so I listened to the music, but I wasn't really a skater. It was sort of the dominant subculture of the 90s, though, really.
Yeah, when, no, if you're a school kid. I listened to Cypress Hill and the Goats.
Sure, depending on what town you lived in, I guess.
Yeah.
But I couldn't skateboard. Whenever I stood on one, I fell off. You know, it was never going to be. It was never for me.
It was never fun doing all the tricks. But where I lived in Bembridge on the Isle of Wight, in the winter the holiday camps were closed and there was no one there.
Yeah.
And they had loads of cement down, and it was quite hilly bits. It was just great going down hills.
Yeah, fast.
Yeah, none of that whole business about going, doing jumps and tricks, just going
down
fast.
No, never grinding a banister and then landing on your testicles.
What's the fun in doing that? Go down the hill fast, walk back up it, go down it again.
Like sledging.
I used to do a thing, yeah, pretty much.
Like urban sledging.
A crab where you'd sit on your skateboard and put your feet on the other person's skateboard, and they sit on theirs and put your feet over yours, and you'd hold hands. I mean, it was very homoerotic, and you both steer your skateboard. You both be sitting
on
your skateboard.
That's just sledging, isn't it? That's two-man sledging.
Not really, because you're doing it sort of a different thing. It was very fulfilling.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, so there was a lot of sort of. It was quite nostalgic to see this actually, because you go, yeah, I haven't thought about this stuff in forever, but you know, there it all is, and their story is amazing. And the true villain of the piece, Tony Hawk, comes off like such a bellend.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. I mean, just watch it and you'll see what I mean. Maybe we can talk about it again once you've seen it. But, yeah, as a sports documentary, I'd say, you know, it's very moving.
Is it a competition-based one? Because I've seen other ones.
No.
Skateboard ones where they do a competition.
There's competitions in it, obviously, and there's little sort of side stories where you're willing them to win or whatever, but no, it's about the two boys' lives.
Dupas.
Papas.
Papas.
I think. Ben and Tas Papas.
Ben and Tas Papas.
Ben and Tas Papas. But they were the best in the world, and I hadn't heard of them.
Was one better than the other?
They used to go like this, and Tony Hawk was third. Mm. And then something happens, and I'm not going to tell you what, but yeah. It was, you know, stuff was in the news and stuff, so it's, but just clearly not in this country, didn't make it over.
How many Davies do you give it?
Interesting. It's a fascinating story. I knew nothing about them. It's a window into a world, and I think the best documentaries are where not only are you being told a story, but you feel like you know a world you knew nothing about before.
Where in the world? PC world.
They don't sponsor us. This would have been at the beginning otherwise.
It's computers delivered.
It's computers delivered, guys. I think I'd give it 8, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Ah.
I really enjoyed it. And it's on Netflix. Netflix. If you'd like to watch a film.
Netflix have started doing films now, haven't they?
Yes, they've done films for quite some time.
No, but actually doing their own lot of their own. Adam
and
Sanders
TV
got
shows.
A deal. People have got film deals.
They've
them.
Thrown billions into their own content to try and just grow and become people's sole source of entertainment.
Well, when I put BBC Two on the other week, it was Caravan of the Year in the.
How is the BBC going to survive?
It's terrible.
Versus, you know, the likes of Better Call Saul or whatever. I mean,
recently, I've put the TV on. You don't know what channel it's on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I presumed that my girlfriend has been watching Channel 5 or some really terrible cable channel.
Yeah.
And then you click the guide, and you're disappointed to realise that is the BBC.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like shit cable TV. Caravan of the Year for an hour on BBC Two. Come off it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's us for this week.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we do need more letters, so please do write in about anything film-related you like to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. You can also post things you find online to our Facebook wall, /filmfandango, or you can tweet us at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marit Larwood. Also, please do subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes.
And leave reviews. It helps other people find us. If you enjoy the show, then please do spread the word.
Also,
yes,
the Wolfsburg season started.
It has. I missed the first game.
Wolfsburg.com.
Yeah. Marek's invented an entire new sport, so you should get involved with that and buy 20 t-shirts each.
Yes.
Also, related to that, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards Film Fandango, because I see nothing of the Wolfsburg t-shirt proceeds.
Debts.
Then please give me the debts, yeah. Please go to filmfandango.co.uk and hit the donate button. And everyone who has done so far, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.